Tonight, major new developments now emerging after the horrific elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Tonight, what we now know here, how long it took before police went into that school. Tonight, authorities now saying the gunman was never confronted outside the school, that police were at the school 4 minutes after he got inside, but that they took fire and called for backup. And authorities now saying it was about an hour later before Border Patrol with tactical gear arrived. Many now asking if lives could have been saved if they had gone in sooner. And now the new images emerging tonight of the frantic parents urging police outside the school to go in there as those parents were waiting with the gunman inside. Matt Gutman in Texas tonight. Meantime, the memorial growing for the 19 school children and two teachers. And this evening, adding to the tragedy, we have now learned the husband of teacher Irma Garcia, who was killed at that school. That husband has now died of a heart attack, married for nearly 25 years, and what the family is saying tonight about what they say was a broken heart. And the children here tonight, what their families want the country to know about them. Berea Villarreal on the scene for us again. Tonight, the call for action across this country. Texas Senator John Cornyn, after returning to Washington from the heartbreaking scene, now directed by Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to now meet with Democrats for a possible bipartisan solution. So tonight here, is there actual movement with the vast majority of Americans wanting something done? Rachel Scott, live on the Hill.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. We are just back from Texas tonight, and the pain in that community we carry with us. And I can tell you, it is as difficult and devastating as you could imagine there. And tonight, the parents who lost their children in Uvalde, Texas, have now learned something else. Authorities now revealing how long it took for officers to get into that classroom. Authorities saying police were on the scene 4 minutes after the gunman got inside, that they took fire, called for backup. And authorities revealed today it was about an hour before teams with tactical gear arrived and then stormed that classroom. Law enforcement officials are reviewing this video, which appears to show the suspect entering the school. And this video now emerging tonight showing the desperate parents who had rushed to the school being held back by police. Some of the parents can be heard saying, "Go in there," as the time passed. The images of the young survivors, the children running from the school, stories of some of them being pulled from windows. A group of children being walked away. Authorities say officers were inside other parts of the building helping to evacuate other classrooms while they waited for that backup. Tonight, what was supposed to be their last day of school, the stories here of the 19 school children, what their families wanted to share with the country tonight about their children. And of course, the two teachers as well. And even with all of this pain already, we learned that one of those teachers, Irma Garcia, her husband, has now died of a heart attack. Tonight, their family says he died of a broken heart. So we will carefully get to it all again tonight. We will honor those who were lost. And we begin here with our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, in Uvalde, Texas tonight.
Tonight, police in Uvalde, Texas, facing withering questions. Could that deadly rampage at Robb Elementary have been stopped sooner? Investigators say just minutes after shooting his grandmother, suspect Salvador Ramos crashed his grandmother's truck near the school at 11:28 a.m. They say he spotted people standing outside a nearby funeral home and shot at them. The first 911 call came in at 11:30. Over the next 10 minutes, police say the gunman walked outside the school, firing at it. He then climbed over a fence, entering the building at 11:40. At this point, the shooter is on school grounds. Today, authorities making it clear he was never interacted with any police officer before entering the school.
He was not confronted by anybody.
Investigators studying these images that appear to show Ramos entering likely through an unlocked door. They say he heads down a hallway and into one classroom that connects to another.
We need to respond to South Grove and Mill Street to establish a perimeter.
At 11:44 a.m., the gunman inside the school for just 4 minutes, and now Uvalde officers are on the scene. They call for a lockdown, but we have now learned about the amount of time that went by before officers got into that classroom.
They don't make entry initially because of the gunfire they're receiving. But we have officers calling for additional resources. We need body armor. We need precision riflemen, negotiators.
Eventually, a Border Patrol tactical team arrives.
Approximately an hour later, U.S. Border Patrol tactical teams arrive. They make entry, shoot and kill the suspect.
During that time, police waited to go into the classroom. These images tonight of desperate parents wailing in anguish as they plead with police trying to reach their children.
You're scared to get shot? I'll go in with all of them.
There are broken windows where agents were trying and officers and law enforcement personnel were trying to evacuate some of the children.
When it was over, 19 children and two teachers were dead. With so many questions about the time that went by, we have now learned just weeks ago, officers practiced for this. Uvalde police doing an active shooter drill at the high school. Javier Cazares' daughter, Jacqueline, a fourth grader, was inside and was shot. She was rushed to the hospital, but later died. Tonight, many asking, could children have been saved?
They said they rushed in and all that. We didn't see that.
And tonight, the children who did survive, now living with horror, playing out in their head. Fourth grader Gemma Lopez in a classroom down the hall.
When did you notice that something was wrong?
Whenever the bullet came through the wall. So I turned off the lights, everybody went under the table.
And had you practiced lockdown drills?
Yes, since kindergarten.
Not only practicing drills, children across this country and then this community having to go through the actual tragedy itself. Matt Gutman back with us again tonight from Texas. And Matt, I know we also learned more from authorities today, investigators recovering a large amount of ammunition from that suspect. And Matt, I know you also talked with the suspect's mother for the first time about her son.
We spoke to the suspect's mother last night, David. Sitting down with her, she said that sometimes she had uneasy feelings about her son, that he could be aggressive and got angry. And you mentioned that ammunition. Law enforcement sources telling us that that suspect had 7 30-round magazines on his person when he entered the school. He also had 15 magazines along with him in a backpack, hundreds of rounds of ammunition. And tonight, investigators are telling us they are also looking into why a lockdown wasn't declared immediately after that first 911 call was made just down the street from us 10 full minutes before the gunman entered the school. David.
Yeah, a lot of questions now about the response and just the images of the parents waiting to get inside. Really difficult to see, Matt. Thank you. We're to turn now to the lives lost tonight, the innocent victims, the 19 school children. And as I mentioned at the top, today was supposed to be their last day of school. Tonight here, news of yet more heartbreak. The family already losing their mother, one of the teachers who were killed, now revealing that their father has died from a heart attack. The family saying he died of a broken heart.
Tonight, the devastating new turn for the family of one of the teachers who was killed. Irma Garcia's husband has had a heart attack and died. So many family members immediately pointing to the unbearable grief playing a part. That husband, Joe Garcia, was set to celebrate his 25th wedding anniversary with his wife. They leave behind 4 grown children. The husband's cousin writing, "I truly believe Joe died of a broken heart, and losing the love of his life of more than 30 years was too much to bear." His nephew posting this image, "Irma's husband, Joe Garcia, has passed away due to grief. I truly am at a loss for words for how we are all feeling." The family saying authorities told them that Irma Garcia in her fourth grade class tried to shield the children from the gunman. She co-taught the children for 5 years with fellow fourth grade teacher Eva Morales. Eva taught at the school for 17 years. Her daughter Adeline writing, "Mom, you are my hero. My heart will forever be broken." Her family tonight remembering her.
She's an amazing mom. Her daughter is so wonderful. Her husband, who's my cousin, is absolutely amazing. And all of their family, and she was just very adventurous and courageous and vivacious and could light up a room, so she's going to be missed.
And tonight, we are learning more about the children. Today would have been their last day at school. Now, the 21 crosses with their names in front. This grandmother, Esmeralda Bravo, holding a photo of her granddaughter, Nevaeh, 10 years old. Her name is Heaven, spelled backwards. Annabelle Rodriguez was 10. She died along with her cousin, Jacqueline Jalen Cazares, also 10 years old. Her father, Javier, showing a photo of his daughter, Jacqueline, on his phone.
She loved to do music. You know, she was in gymnastics. And, loved to be around family.
There was Ellie Garcia, her aunt holding up her phone with a photo of her 10-year-old niece.
She was very happy and very outgoing. Loved to dance and sing and play sports. She was big into family, enjoyed being with the family.
Alethea Ramirez was also 10. Her family telling us she was a great artist. They shared her artwork with us, her drawings, her paintings. Her grandmother, Rosa Maria.
She was a nice little girl. She would help her mom, her dad, with the kids. She was a very, very sweet girl. Very sweet girl.
Fourth grader Rogelio Torres, 10 years old too. He wanted to be a carpenter. His mother holding her son's photo.
He was like helpful to everybody, to his family. He was happy. He played with his brothers. He was loving, caring.
10-year-old Tess Mata, her older sister Faith, remembering Tess's love of dance.
She was just a joy. Every time I came home from college, she'd run outside. She'd open my car door for me. She'd be like, Sissy, you need help with the bag? She was our little helper. She was carefree.
Alexandria Ania Rubio, her mother Kimberly, writing of the last time she saw her little girl that morning at school. My beautiful, smart Alexandria was recognized today for All-A Honor Roll. She also received the Good Citizen Award. We told her we loved her and would pick her up after school. We had no idea this was goodbye. 10-year-old McKenna Lee Elrod, her aunt telling us McKenna Lee was a light to all who knew her. Layla Salazar was also 10. Her father, Vincent, saying she liked to dance, singing along with him every morning on their way to school. Xavier James Lopez was 10. His family saying he loved soccer and baseball. His mom at the award ceremony that morning. Two cousins, Jace Carmelo Luvanos and Jayla Nicole Seguero, lost together. Their family telling us they were nothing but loving baby angels. Jose Garcia, his grandfather, telling us his grandson loved to play football with him. He was the sweetest little boy that I've ever known. And there was Amory Jo Garza, who had just turned 10. The image her father showed us, holding an award for the honor roll that morning. Her family says one of the survivors in that classroom told them that Amory tried to call 911 before she was shot. Her father, Alfred Garza, telling me while he was waiting outside that school, he comforted some of the children waiting for their parents, all while waiting for his own daughter.
I tried to say, hey, you know what? Your parents are probably outside. They're looking for you. We even called some of the parents on my cell phone. I let them talk to their parents, let them know they were okay. They were just, you know, secured in the facility. And
all the while you're wondering, is your daughter going to walk in?
Right, yes. That's what I was kind of hoping for, waiting for her to walk in the door.
Alfred showing me that video, his daughter fishing with him.
Do you know what you're doing?
No. And he told us what he would say to her if he could.
If you had a chance to get another moment with your daughter, I'm sure you played this out in your head, what you would say to her.
That she made me proud, and she did good, and she was a phenomenal person, and my love for her was beyond measure. That I'm always going to love her, and I'm always going to remember her, and she's never, ever going to leave my heart. She's always going to be.
The bravery of these parents to share their stories with us. Tonight, the parents of one of the children, 10-year-old Tess Mata, with our Maria Villarreal, remembering their daughter as well, but also tonight demanding that something be done in this country. And Maria with us now. I know this was a difficult interview for you, and as I just mentioned a moment ago, we don't let any of these interviews go by without respecting the bravery it takes to come forward.
It's not easy, David, at all. There wasn't a dry eye in the room. The father, Jerry, actually told me that he felt helpless standing outside that school trying to get in but being held back by police. They want to remember their daughter, though, as this funny, bright-eyed, energetic person. She'd love to dance, and she had big dreams of becoming a TikTok star.
She deserves to be remembered. She put a smile on everybody's face every time she was always dancing. She was always had the biggest smile ever. So I want her to be remembered for the awesome little girl that she was.
For those people who watch this and say, that will never happen in my town.
How many times did we say that? Every time we turned on the news and we heard of another shooting, that could never happen here. That could never. It happened here. It happened here.
crosses with the names of the children now out in front of that school. And Maria, I know when we spoke earlier, when you were telling us about the interview you had just completed, you also talked about how you could clearly hear the frustration in their voices when you sat down with them.
Absolutely, David. They want answers. They haven't gotten a lot of information about this investigation. And more than anything, what is the most difficult thing for them right now is that they have not been able to see their daughter. And all they want to do is just hold her one last time. David.
Maria Villarreal in Texas for us again tonight. Maria, thank you. Now to the calls for action across this country. Texas Senator John Cornyn, who was there in Uvalde while we were there yesterday, now back in Washington tonight. And today he was directed by Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell to now meet with Democrats for a possible bipartisan solution. So tonight, the obvious question, is there actual movement on this, with the vast majority of Americans now wanting something done? ABC's Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight.
Texas Senator John Cornyn returning to Washington from the scene of the tragedy. Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell encouraging him to meet with Democrats and see if there's a path forward.
I'm not interested in the same old tired talking points. I'm actually interested in what we can do to make the terrible events that occurred in Uvalde less likely in the future.
Today, Cornyn spoke with another senator whose state was touched by tragedy, Democrat Chris Murphy from Connecticut, where 26 people, including 20 children, were gunned down at Sandy Hook Elementary School.
How long are you willing to give this in order to reach some type of agreement?
We don't have a lot of time. I mean, there's a sense of urgency in the country. I don't think the American people are going to let us be in conversation for, you know, a month.
Now on the table, background checks for gun stores, gun shows and online sales, and red flag measures allowing courts to temporarily remove guns from people deemed dangerous. Polls show more than 80% of Americans support those policies, but it's far from clear that they can get the 10 Republican votes needed.
Are there 60 votes for that?
It's a little bit early to try to predict the outcome, but there's clearly a lot of interest.
But for some Republicans, any talk of reform involving guns is a non-starter.
The majority of Americans support some type of action when it comes to gun reform. Is your party wrong on this? Are you wrong on this?
We need to look at what solutions have worked and haven't worked.
But if the majority of Americans say background checks,
ma'am, I realize you have a point of view. I've been happy to
It's the point of view of the American people, sir.
And back in Texas, the state's other senator, questioned by a reporter from Sky News.
Is this the moment to reform gun laws?
You know, it's easy to go to politics.
But it's important. It's at the heart of the issue.
I get that that's where the media likes to go.
No, it's not. It's where many of the people we've talked to here like to go.
The proposals from Democrats in the media, inevitably, when some violent psychopath murders people.
A violent psychopath who's able to get a weapon so easily. 18-year-old with two AR-15s.
If you want to stop violent crime, the proposals the Democrats have, none of them would have stopped this.
Well, that's the question now that Democrats and Republicans are now meeting. I understand Senator Cruz is not part of that working group, but Rachel Scott back on the Hill tonight. Rachel, the Senate is now on recess for 10 days. Obviously, no break in the pain for these families and what they're going through in Texas. And these senators tonight pledging to meet, to Zoom, actually, through this break to try to come up with this bipartisan solution.
Exactly, David. Democrats tell me they feel a real sense of urgency. They want to seize on this moment. Republican Senator Susan Collins says a small group of bipartisan senators has now broken down assignments, and they do plan to meet over Zoom over the recess. As for Texas Senator Ted Cruz, well, he is preparing to speak at the NRA convention in Houston tomorrow, and so will Texas Governor Greg Abbott and former President Donald Trump. David.
All right, Rachel Scott, we know you'll stay on this. Rachel, thank you. And joining the call for action, students across this country, including some who sadly know the deadly violence firsthand. Students walking out of class and holding a rally at Schreiber High School in Port Jefferson, New York, at Michigan's Oxford High School, where four students were killed by classmate Ethan Crumbly last November, and at Saugus High School in Santa Clarita, California, where two students were killed in a shooting there in 2019. When we come back here on a Thursday night, the other news here, and with millions of Americans preparing to travel this long weekend, the damaging winds, the storms across several states, in fact, from the Gulf Coast all the way up to Chicago, then the system moving into the east. And so Rob is standing by to time this out.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, tonight, 60 million Americans on alert for severe weather. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking it for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. This storm system really organizing over the central U.S. We've had a tornado on the ground in Indiana, wind damage in Illinois, and the front arcing all the way down to the Gulf Coast. There you see it. It's pressing up over the Appalachians tonight. We do have a severe thunderstorm watch out for parts of the Carolinas and a couple tornado warnings in there. These will weaken somewhat overnight and then refire tomorrow afternoon. Look at this. Right around 5 o'clock travel time all along I-95, D.C. to New York. And really, the danger zone is going to be from Charleston, South Carolina, all the way through Philadelphia. A stormy start to this holiday weekend. David?
All right. Thank you, Rob. Tonight, tributes pouring in for actor Ray Liotta, known for his roles in Goodfellas, Field of Dreams. We're told he died in his sleep while working on a movie in the Dominican Republic. Former co-star Lorraine Bracco saying she's utterly shattered. Liotta was 67. Before we go, you could see that growing memorial behind me while we were in Texas last night. Tonight here, something more. The crosses now bearing the names of the children and the teachers outside Robb Elementary School. Strangers from all over now leaving messages from the school to the courthouse. I'm David Muir. Thank you for watching. Good night.